tonight I'm just going to be doing kind of a mini series with you, just taking a brief hiatus from the I Am series on something that the Lord has just impressed upon my heart for some time on the subject of the will of God, the will of God. And how many of you will agree sometimes that, you know, we're often embattled and entrenched with trying to figure out what's God's will for our lives? I mean, I think that that's probably one of the biggest questions for the believer. So tonight's series is entitled, What is God's Will? What is God's Will? And in specific tonight, I'm going to be answering the question, is God's will really that mysterious? Is it really that mysterious? When you have Hebrews chapter 4, let me get an amen. 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 And I'm going to read from verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, as we really dive into this subject, many Christians suffer. They suffer in the area of personal growth, personal development, as it pertains to their pursuit of purpose. I mean, you see all types of volumes of books that are sold out there on trying to discover what your purpose is and find your purpose in life. And you got a lot of Christians that they struggle in development as it pertains to purpose, because oftentimes they're plagued with this question. This question plagues the believers. What on earth is God's will for my life? What does God want to do with my life? And if we're honest tonight, single-handedly, this question is probably the most important question to the Christian experience. It really is. It's the most important question. However, the question that I propose tonight, the one that I opened up with, is the will of God really all that mysterious? You know, is it really all that mysterious? Because you see, oftentimes what ends up happening with the Christian is that they take the subject, right, of the will of God and they transpose it into a personal belief system. And this is crazy. This is what happens to a lot of Christians. And what ends up happening a lot of times is they transpose this into a personal belief system that's often generated either through really bad teaching. For many of us, New Life is not our first church. And maybe we might have gotten some bad teaching. Maybe we've walked in fear for most of our life. There's some people that they even have mystic type of thinking. Like, you know, God's will is just so mysterious that I've got to fall off on a rock somewhere and see a sign in the sky. Okay? And really and truly, a lot of it is because of poor discipleship. And just really poor development. So in response, this is what you see a lot of Christians suffering with. They live out of fear of breaking the will of God. You don't know how many times I hear Christians say, you know, I don't want to break the will of God. I don't want to walk out of God's will. I don't want to step out of God's will. And as noble as that might seem, there's a lot wrong with that. And we'll talk about that tonight. You know, there's a lot of people that they want some specific sign. Or their name written in the cloud. Let me step outside today, Jesus, and find out that he's the one. Write James in the sky. Please, you might end up with the wrong brother. But anyways. And then there's a lot of people that what ends up happening is that they miss opportunities. They miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because they didn't hear some voice come down and say, thus saith the Lord. This is it. And the truth of the matter is that, Christian, God is much less mysterious and ready available for us than you and I realize. He's much more less mysterious. And the questions are not even a matter of pursuit. The questions aren't even a matter of purpose. The question is this: are you really learning about what God has to say about his will? Are you really studying about what the Lord teaches about his will? You know, whenever you study the word of God, the Bible really breaks down the will of God into two dynamic encounters. The first one is that there's a will of God of things that only God can do. For example, create. We can only create of that which has already been created. We can't produce something from nothing. There was always a source. There was always a substance. There is a will for creation. But then there's a will for humanity. And in this will of humanity, this is a design that God has uniquely given to us that impacts our functionality. It makes us a functional people. And through this, the glory of God is revealed through our lives. God has this design and he's orchestrated this partnership. And man, let me tell you, I'm often taken back by this partnership. Because I say, God, you could have used anybody, but you've chosen to use us. And God has given us this partnership where yes, he is Lord, but he still bestows upon us the responsibility and the power to be able to make decisions. Church, let me tell you that being a Christian doesn't mean that you leave your mind at the door. You still have the right to make decisions. And really and truly, this is the will that I'm going to be talking about in specific. Now, before I really dive into what we're going to be teaching about, let me break down for you what I'm not talking about, okay? Because I don't want to give the devil place, and a lot of people misinterpret what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that God cannot speak to you through a sign. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God will not speak to you through a prophetic word. Trust me, I believe in prophetic words. I have been used in them. I give them. We've seen them many times in this house. God will give you a prophetic word. I'm not saying that God cannot speak to you through an audible voice. That's not what I'm saying tonight. None of that is what I'm saying. What I am saying is that how often the Christian in their experience with the Lord mystifies how God can speak to us. And we centralize it to this one point that God can only speak one way. If I don't walk outside and see, you know, all the birds blue, then God ain't speaking to me today. Said who? Can God speak to us through the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. However, even with that, he's not limited to a voice. He's not limited to a voice. The Holy Spirit in our lives, church, and I want you to get this in your spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives makes us aware of how God speaks to us, of what God is speaking to us. Church, I want you to really get this in your spirit, is that you and I were called for more than just sitting around meandering through life, trying to figure out what is God's will. You see, there's a lot of people that they use this as a cop-out for having to step out in faith. I'm waiting on the Lord. Why don't you serve? I'm waiting on the Lord. Why don't you make a move on your life? I'm waiting on the Lord. Every opportunity has been presented before you to step out, but still, nonetheless, we sit here and we throw these fear phrases out there, such as, I'm waiting on the Lord. And yes, it's good for us to wait on the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord. But when it comes to God's will, you know, walking in the will of God, it's not just this arrival or this event to be found. Friends, the will of God is the Christian life. And this is huge to understand. This is huge for us to understand, especially in our walk with the Lord. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You know, show me in the Bible. Show me one passage in the scripture where the Bible specifically tells you what house to buy, what neighborhood to live in, what you're going to do. Show me in the scriptures where specifically the Bible tells you the name of your spouse. Hello, this is real stuff. Show me in the Bible where specifically the Bible tells you this is the job that you're supposed to accept. Show me in the Bible where the scriptures tells you whether you should drink tea in the morning or chocolate milk. Show me. Show me in the Bible where it says whether or not you should wear a green shirt or a blue shirt. Friends, we got to really stop putting God under the bus when it comes to tackiness. I'm being for real. Let me tell you, you're not going to find these passages of scripture in the Bible, but the Bible does have a lot to say on how we make those decisions, on what we do to make those decisions. And if we've honored what the Bible teaches in making those decisions, then those decisions can be made. This is why I'm telling you, church, that tonight is probably one of the most important messages that you will get in your Christian walk, because we are battling with one of the most important questions. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will? You see, you got a lot of Christians, and I really want you to understand this. You got a lot of Christians that they treat God's will as like this esoteric thing, like it's special knowledge. Like only the elite have this special knowledge. And sometimes you have Christians today that they treat God's will as like this shamanistic thing. Basically, that means that, you know, unless the pastor gives me a word, then I can't move forward in life. Said who? I'm being dead serious. There's a lot of people that they base their Christian existence as to whether or not the pastor gives them a word, or whether they got a word from the church. And then there's a lot of Christians that they treat God's will serendipitous, meaning living by chance, living by pure chance. But church, God's will can't be reduced to chance. God's will can't be reduced to shamanistic type of thinkings. Yes, God will use counselors. Yes, God will use prophets. Yes, God will use people to disciple our lives. But here's a question for you. What happens when you don't have a counselor at that moment? You can't call your pastor. I'm being serious. What happens? What happens when you can't reach your pastor? What happens when you can't reach the person that's discipling you? What do you do? How do you respond? How do you respond to God's will? Then you have the other type of people. Okay, now I'm Pentecostal to the bone. Let me tell you, I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to our lives. But you got some folks that they're always saying, well, the Holy Spirit told me this, and the Holy Ghost told me that, and the Holy Ghost told me this, and the Holy Ghost told me that. Now, let me tell you something. I believe in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks. He's my best friend. We talk all the time. I don't doubt the Holy Ghost, but I do doubt people sometimes. Hello? I'm being dead serious. I do doubt people sometimes, because one thing that the Holy Ghost will never do, the Holy Ghost will never take you out of the scope of God's word. Amen. And then you got a lot of folks that they're like, the Holy Ghost said this. The Holy Ghost told you to strip? Really? Not my Bible. Not my Bible. The Holy Ghost told you to sell drugs? Not my Bible. I'm being dead serious. Church, let me be real transparent with you. Y'all don't know who this is, so don't try to figure it out, okay? There was a young man one time. He came up to me, and he was real sincere. He had a meeting with me, and he said, Jose, I feel like I've heard from the Lord. I really sense that this is the Holy Ghost in my life. And I said, okay, what is it, young man? And we were eating lunch, and he was talking to me. He said, I believe that God wants me to open up a strip club. And I said, what? And he said, and the women were scripture verses on them. And I said, wow, talk about Babylon. I looked at the young man. I said, son, you are dumb. Okay, he got upset at me. And he hasn't talked to me in about 4 years. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost will never, church, get this in your heart. The Holy Ghost will never pull you out of the scope of that which does not bring glory to Jesus. You need to understand this, church. You see, this is good teaching, because you got a lot of people that they say, the Holy Ghost said this, the Holy Ghost said that. But I don't care if it doesn't match up with what this says. This is what's important. You know, the Holy Ghost honors the word of God. If you're taking notes, write this scripture down. John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. What was it that Jesus said to us? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Holy Spirit will never speak beyond the scope of the Word of God. Another thing that the Holy Ghost will never do is that the Holy Ghost will never speak beyond the scope of truth or that which brings glory to Jesus Christ. If you just jump two chapters over in John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, the scripture says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the and I am the life. He is the truth. So if he is the truth, how will the Holy Spirit guide you away from the truth? But I like this text. Let's just keep looking at it. It says, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. I like verse 14. Watch what it says. It says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. The Holy Spirit never, church, get this in your heart. The Holy Spirit will never, ever speak beyond the scope of the Word of God. How can we live in the will of God if we're not walking in the Word of God? How can we live in the true will of God if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit that speaks the Word of God? You see, this is one of the biggest ways that we know whether a word is from God or not, because God will never speak a word that he did not first say. Then there's this other phenomena. This is this other phenomena with the Christian experience. You have some people that in their quote unquote growth, they spend no time in teaching. They spend no time reading and soaking in the scriptures. They soak in music. They soak in prayer. But church, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you soaked in the Bible? When was the last time you drenched yourself with these holy words and allowed these words to shape and shift your heart, to mold your thinking and your direction in life? Think about this for a moment. You got folks that they spend all this time in worship, but no time in teaching. Some folks that they'll come to church just to hear the worship and then leave because they don't want to hear the word. But then those are the same folks that are calling the church on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, and they're saying, please pray for me because I don't know what the will of God is for my life. If you have a personal walk with God that's all just emotional, but no depth, no word, no scripture, how are you growing? How can you live in the word of God? I want you to write this passage down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Another popular passage of scripture. The Bible says all scripture. Let me hear you say all scripture. He didn't say some scriptures. He didn't say a quarter of them. He said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Watch this. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at verse 17. That the man or the woman of God may be complete. You want to be complete? You want to be whole? Get into the word. Get into the word. There's too much of the Bible that's available to us to not get into the word. Church, we've got more Bible available to us in this era and in this age than to give an excuse. Man, you got Bible apps. Did you know that the average Christian today has four Bibles? But you got countries like China that will sit here and just fight for a page. And we've got these things collecting dust. And we spend no time reading it. No time reading it, man. There's no excuse not to be in the Word of God. Church, I love music. I'm a musician. I love to pray. I love to pray. But if there is an imbalance, then you have a mystic soul. You have a mystic soul that's driven by emotional experiences, failing to see that if you're not willing to be confronted with the truth, then you don't know the will of God. Church, get this in your heart. The Bible makes us competent of the will of God. The Bible is what makes us competent. Then you wonder why you got so many people that they can worship for hours. They can sit here and they can listen to music for hours, but dare would ask the question, what is the will of God for my life? Well, what is God's will for my life? So they live this life meandering through life, living by haphazard, by chance, that one day God would just speak to them through some sense of discovery. You know, it's like one day we're walking home. We almost get hit by a car. We've been asking God, where do you want me to go? What you want me to do? And all of a sudden we fall off. And, you know, before we get, you know, launched off by this car, we look up and we see a sign that says, go to Italy. And we're like, Lord, is that you? I'm serious. Now, again, I'm not limiting the possibility that God can speak like that. He can speak like that. But I want you to understand this, church, is that you were meant for more. You were meant for more than meandering through this Christian experience. Unresponsive. Feeling lost. We were not meant to live lost. We have a guide. We have a guide that guides us. So tonight, I want to break down for you just two very simple points. Two simple points on whether or not you are truly in the will of God or if you're walking by the will of God. And the first point is this, and it's real simple, is that his will is his word. Please understand that. His will is his word. Our text this evening said, for the word of God is living and powerful. Please understand this, church, is that when we have lost our love for the word, then we've lost our life in discovering the will of God. When you lose your love for the word, you've lost your life in discovering the will of God. You will never know what God's will is for your life if you have no passion for what he has to say about his word. You know, one of the things about God is that he never plays this mouse in the maze game with us. That's not how he operates. That would be a very cruel father. But the scripture says that he's a good father. You know, one of my favorite passages of scriptures on the word of God is Psalm 119. How many have ever read it all the way through? You know, that psalm has 176 verses. And out of 176 of them, 175 of them are directly ascribed to walking in the will of God. And one of the things that you see is that their direct relationship with walking in the will of God is directly related to walking in the word of God. I mean, we got famous passages of scripture, which we probably know well, like Psalm 119, 105, that says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light. Hear this. A light unto my path. What is the path? The path is the will of God. How are we walking in the will of God when we're in the word of God? Church, how? And let me tell you something. I believe that this message is so important, especially for Pentecostals. Because, boy, let me tell you, we love the experience. We love it. But do we love the word? Do we love the word? Let me give you five things that really reveal whether or not you are walking in the will of God. Number one is this: salvation. They all start with S. Okay, you can call them the five S's. Number one is salvation. It is the will of God that you would be saved. That's the will of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to what it says. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this. Who desires, some of your translation says, who wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Church, God wants you saved. So here's the first step as to knowing whether or not you're in the will of God. And church, I really want you to get this in your heart, because this is going to completely revolutionize how you make decisions in life. Because there's some folks that they pray about things for years. Pray about things for years. And God gave you the answer years ago. But because your name wasn't written in the clouds, you didn't take a step. Because you weren't able to walk on the water yet, you didn't take a step. God, bring me an opportunity. God brought you an opportunity, but you didn't take it. God blessed me with the right open doors. God opens doors, open doors. But because you didn't hear a thus saith the Lord. Because a prophet didn't come to you at random and says, the Lord says to you today. We missed it. Number two, second S, sanctification. God not only wants you saved, but God wants you set apart for himself. It's God's will that you would be set apart. So here's the question as to whether or not you're truly walking in the will of God. Are you saved? And are you living a life that's set apart for the Lord? Look at what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 8 says. I mean, you can't get any more clear than this. This is one of the things I love about Paul. He's so blunt and so direct. Look what he says. For this is the will of God. You're like, God, what's the will? What's your will for my life? He goes, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. It's God's will that you would be set apart. Look what he says, that you would abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, in honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. In other words, church, our experience should not be like we're not saved. We shouldn't be living as a Christian like we did in the world, church. What makes us any different? Look what he says in verse 6. He says that none of you should take advantage or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Look at verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but he rejects God. Look at what the scripture says. Who has given us the Holy Spirit. Church, God wants you to be different. Let me hear you say, God has called me to be different. There's supposed to be something unique about you. That there's supposed to be something special about you. The Bible says that we're a peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. We should walk into environments and people be able to look at us and see something different about us. The third S, write this down. So God wants you saved. God wants you sanctified. Number three, God wants you spirit-filled. Amen. He wants you spirit-filled. You see, God has called each of us, church, to be renewed. God has called each of us to be enlightened. God has called each of us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit living inside of our hearts. Friends, let me tell you something. There's no better friend than you can have inside of your life than the Holy Ghost. There's no better friend than you can have in your life than the Holy Ghost. You know, we can sit here and we can have this thing that looks like a great moving car, but without the right engine inside of it, without the right power to move it, there's nothing that's going to happen inside of your life. And I want you to hear what the Word of God says. If you're taking notes, write this down. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. I'm going to emphasize verse 17 through 21. Look at what it says. Therefore, do not be unwise. But watch this. Understand. Hear this. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit, church. God wants to lead your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I said this a moment ago, the Holy Spirit will speak the Word of God inside of your life. The Holy Spirit will open up the knowledge of the truth so that you will be able to look into this book and they not just be words, but they come alive inside. You know, when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, this Bible became for me like a pop-up book. You know, I felt like a little child. You open up the Bible. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You open up the Bible and it was like, you know, David and Goliath was no longer just David and Goliath. It was like, boom, I'm in David and Goliath. It became real to me. You see, church, you and I will never understand what the will of the Lord is if we're not led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will speak the Word of God. You know, in these earlier verses, this is why I referenced the entire chapter. In these earlier verses, Paul admonishes the church and he says, be an imitator of Christ. Ephesians 5:1, powerful passage of scripture. He says, be an imitator of Christ. And in that text, he says, imitate Christ, walk in the light, be wise. However, none of that can happen without the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. So we're called to be saved. We're called to be sanctified. We're called to be Spirit-filled. And number four, I like this one. We're called to surrender. We're called to surrender. This is huge. You want to know what it is to walk in the will of God? Surrender. Church, submission. Submission is the attitude of a surrendered soul. When your heart has broken before the Father and you've surrendered before the Lord, obedience then becomes the voice. Obedience becomes the action. This is where you live life and you say, here I am, Lord. Here is your servant. Use me. Send me. Do whatever it is that you want to do inside of my life. Surrender. Surrender is powerful. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Are you learning something tonight? This is important. The Bible says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. What is that mind? You all know Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That we would be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But then Peter continues. He says, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men. Watch this. But for the will of God. For the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of sinners. When we walked in lewdness, when we walked in lust and drunkenness, in wild partying, in drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, he says, right now, your life is different. Let me tell you something, Christian, that if your experience as a believer is boring, then the problem is never on God's part. I'm telling you, because God can do some amazing things through your life if you're surrendered to the will of God. You can walk in environments and all of a sudden completely change the entire atmosphere. Many of you might experience this right now. When we first walked in here, it was hot. It was hot. New Life's AC is anointed. Okay? I'm talking about it works like this. It's not like car AC. Y'all know how car AC is. You first turn it on and it starts blowing hot air for like the first 5 minutes and you're like, oh Lord. All of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed. It got cold in here. I saw some of y'all covering yourself. Some of y'all threw on hats. You're like, we're back in the morgue. A thermostat changes the entire atmosphere. But you got a lot of Christians today that they live life as thermometers. You see, a thermometer, it only reads an atmosphere. If I take a thermometer and I put it in boiling water, it tells me how hot it is. But when you have a thermostat changes the whole climate. A thermostat changes the entire environment. In church, when you are surrendered to God, you have the power to change environments. Now, this last S, I'm going to be very real with you. Nobody likes this last one. But it's very much of walking in the will of God, and it's called suffering. Nobody likes this one. Now, the suffering that I'm talking about is not, you know, suffering from things because you brought these things upon your own life as a result of sin. But the suffering that I'm talking about in specific is the suffering that happens to your life because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Church, as a Christian, you're going to go through things. As a Christian, you are going to experience things. I want you to see what Peter says again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Look what he says. He says, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says that we are joint heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer. Church, we're going to go through things in life. You know, Stephen Furtick, he's a popular minister today. He says something that's very interesting, something similar to what I've been saying for years. But he says the birthmark of a Christian is a bullseye. That's what he says. You're going to go through attacks in your life. You're going to go through things inside of your life. And these really are the points as to whether or not you're walking in the will of God. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? Are you spirit-filled? Are you surrendered? And are you going through life? You see, church, God allows us to make decisions. But really and truly, all five of these points that I just described for you tonight, they can be summarized in one statement. It's called dying to self. That it's no longer about us, but it's about Jesus. And when it's no longer about us, we move into this second category. The first category was that his will is his word. Number two is this, is that his word exposes our heart and our mind. You know, whenever life is messed up, we get into the word of God, and the word of God will show you things. You see, this is how I know whether Christians have been in the word of God, by how we react and how we respond. When you're in the word of God, church, you don't talk like everybody else. You don't think like everybody else. You don't see things like everybody else. There's something different about you. I want you to see what our original text says. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." That's emotions and truth. "Of joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, the question, and I want you to get this in your heart, the question of God's will should never be, should I do this or that? Or even purpose. The real question of the will of God is, has the Bible pierced your heart? Has the Bible so pierced your heart that it's transformed you? That it's transformed the way you look at life, that it's transformed the way you think, that it's transformed the way that you make decisions. Church, has the Bible pierced you? You see, when I sit in a sermon, when I hear Pastor Maria preach, when I hear Pastor Anna preach, when I hear some of my students preach, I don't just sit there and say, well, I know that information already. No, I want God's word to pierce me. I want it to change me. I don't want to leave the same way that I came. I want to be different. I want to be strengthened, and I don't care if I've got to hear it 1,000 times. Amen. I believe that sometimes God has to speak to us 1,000 times, and if the sermon hasn't changed, it's because our heart hasn't changed. You see, if you're saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, surrendered, and suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ, then really and truly, the will of God is not esoteric. It's not some secret thought somewhere that special knowledge only for the elite. It's not. You don't always need this, thus saith the Lord, to purchase a home. I'm being serious. You don't. You don't always need this, thus saith the Lord. You know, there's some of us that, you know, we have been praying for a spouse. Now, it may not be God's will for everyone to be married. That's another message for another time. I'm not going to talk about that right now. But maybe God has brought you somebody who honors the word of God, who lives according to the will of God. But because we don't hear or we don't get specific things. Yes, we need to seek counsel. Yes, we need to get discipline. But guess what? All of that was within the scope of the will of God. It's within the Word of God. The Word of God will teach you those types of things. In my next installment of this teaching, I'm going to be talking about choosing the right counselors over your life. And what people not to allow to speak in your life. But I want you to understand this, is that if you're truly led by the Word of God, then you're led by the will of God. Because if this is your guide, then how can you not be in His will? His word is His will. And if His word is His will, then your heart belongs to Him. The only insecurities that you would have are this, is that number one, you're not walking in the elements that I described a moment ago. Or number two is that we're so bound to a spirit of fear. And if we're bound to a spirit of fear, church, we already know what the Bible says about that. He didn't give you that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power," and I like this last point, "of a sound mind." You know what a sound mind is? A mind that can make decisions. A mind that can make decisions because you've been in the Word. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're spirit-filled. You're surrendered. You're suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. So you have a sound mind because you know what this says about you. You don't have identity issues because you know what this says about you. You don't have to live by the perception and the appeal and the appraisal of man because you know what this says about you. You know what God said about you. And if you know what God says about you, then you know His will. You know His will. You know His will. You see, the Word of God will pierce our hearts. And when the Word of God pierces our hearts, then our hearts are led by the will of God. You know, Psalm chapter 37, verse 3 through 6. I'll close with this passage of Scripture. It's a famous passage of Scripture, oftentimes misquoted, that God will give us the desires of our heart. We like that one part. But look what the Scripture says. Trust in the Lord. Not trust in you. Not trust in your ability. But trust in the Lord. If you're trusting in the Lord, then you're trusting in His word. If you're trusting in His word, then you're trusting His will. But look what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Not our faithfulness. His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. In other words, I'm saved. I'm set apart. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm surrendered. My life is not my own, so I'm suffering for the cause of Christ. If I'm doing these things, then I'm delighting myself in the Lord. He belongs to me. I belong to Him. I am my beloved's. My beloved's is mine. We're one. We're in one accord. And if we're in one accord, look what the Scripture says. Now, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, there's some of us, we just jump right to that. Lord, you said you'll give me the desires of your heart, of my heart. And God's like, really? Did you trust me? Did you feed on my faithfulness? Did you delight in me? But look at verse 5. If you didn't think that David was exhaustive enough, look what he says in verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, in case we didn't get it the first time. And God will bring it to pass. Look at verse 6. It says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You know what? God may choose to use a prophetic word. God may choose to use a vision or a dream. God may choose to use a sign or a wonder. But in the absence of all of that, church, He's equipped us with His word. He's given us His word to speak truth inside of our lives. And when you have this, you have His will. Church, I'm on a mission. In 2017, I'm on a mission. And my mission is very clear. The assignment is very clear, that you would fall in love with this again. Church, that you would fall in love with this again. I don't want to be a preacher of stories. I don't want to be a preacher of just narratives. I want to be the type of preacher that when you open up this, this is broken down for you. And you fall in love with this again. Because church, I'll tell you, when you fall in love with His word again, then you'll fall in love with Him again. And when you fall in love with Him again, church, let me tell you, He'll blow your mind. He'll blow your mind. So tonight, we're going to close. I'm not going to ask the worship team to come forward, because I want us to all just to answer this one call. if tonight you will commit to saturating yourself in the Word of God, to immerse yourself in His Word again. You see, there's some of us, we've been slipping on the Word. We've been slipping on the Word. Come on, church, let's be transparent. We've been slipping on the Word. And we need to get back in this. We need to get back in this. And tonight, if you'll commit to God, not to me, that Lord, I'm coming back to your Word. I'm coming back to your Word. I want you to stand to your feet right where you are. And just talk to the Lord right now. Just take a moment. And you tell Jesus, Lord, I'm coming back to your Word. I'm coming back to your Word tonight. Just take a moment. Take a moment. I'm coming back to your Word tonight. And as you commit this to the Lord, listen, I said this to you a moment ago. There's no excuse not to spend just a couple of moments in the Bible. Our church has provided you with things like the daily devotionals. You got the YouVersion app. You've got the Bible Gateway app. We've got about 10 of these in the house. Okay? There's no reason not to be in the Word of God. So tonight, I want us to tell the Lord, Lord, I want your Word again. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. How can a young man make his way pure? But by your Word, your law, your precepts. Church, this Word keeps me out of trouble. This Word keeps my mind pure. This Word keeps my thoughts pure. This Word keeps my words pure. This Word keeps me on my knees. Lord, restore a passion for your Word in our hearts again, oh God. Lord, I'm praying tonight, Lord God, Lord, that we would no longer meander through life asking the question, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? What is your will? When you've given us your Word, God, you've given us your Word. You will never lead us where your Word is not covering us, where your Word has not secured us. And Father, I desperately pray for New Life Assembly of God. Yes, for the body of Christ, but for this church in specific, that God, you would restore a passion for your Word again. Lord, there's so many people that they're walking around in life saying that they don't know you, that they don't sense you, that they don't hear you when you're sitting on their shelf. When you're collecting memory on their phone. Lord, you're right there. You're right there. Your Word is right there. And because your Word is there, your will is there. God, renew a passion. Lord, David said in Psalm 19, how sweet are your words, for they're sweeter than the honeycomb. They give me life. They give me life. Lord, your words are life. Help us to fall in love with your Word again. Yes, God, I love the music. I love the worship. I love the noise. I love the sounds. But Lord, there's times when the music isn't playing. There's times, Father, where I have not had the words to speak. But when I've opened up this book, oh God, Lord, you spoke to me and it came alive to me. And Lord, I hid it in my heart that I would not sin against you, oh God. God, help us. Help us again, Lord God, to fall in love. James said that this is the perfect law of liberty. Paul said that this is the washing of the Word. This is the washing of the Word, oh God. Lord, teach us again to fall in love with your Word, oh God. I pray, Father, that you would strip off from us a spirit of neglect, oh God. That you would strip off from us, Lord, a spirit of laziness. Lord, forgive us for being too busy. Sometimes we're too busy. Lord, we're not afraid to stay up late and won't wake up a couple of minutes early just so that we can spend time with you. Even 5 minutes, 5 minutes, God. 5 minutes, Lord God. Lord, you've given us life. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord can taketh away. And Lord, how precious is life. David said that what is life but a vapor? Here 1 minute, gone the next. And God, should you choose, we could be gone tomorrow. But Lord, you've given us this word. Please, Father. Please, oh God, let the convicting power of your Holy Spirit move on the church in this hour, Lord God, because you have so many people living in this day and age like busy worker ants walking around not knowing where they're going, Lord God. But God, you've given us a guide. You've given us your truth that shows us the way. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord God. Renew again inside of us a passion for your word. A passion for your word. Now, I want to challenge you tonight, church, as we're getting ready to be dismissed from this place. You know, Pastor Maria normally does this in the beginning of the year. And she has something called Take Five. Y'all know that. And it's a great starter for us to be able to get into an attitude of devotion. And church, just spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes in the morning. Just spend 5 minutes. Listen, a lot of times, you know, I wake up in the morning. I'll go maybe sit down in the restroom or by the side of my bed, and I'll open up the Bible or open up my app, and I'll start reading the Word of God. Or I'll take some time throughout the day and read the Word of God. I'll open up the Word. We need to get into that habit. Even if it just takes 5 minutes, church. 5 minutes. Let's do that. Let's do that. Can you commit 5 minutes? I guarantee you that it'll change your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We'll see you this Sunday. God bless you.